Oh, we listened. We listened, Mark. We're still listening. That's Mark Josephs, the founder of the Tenor Guitar Gathering we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. And Mark left us in 2016. Is that possible? No. Yeah, I think it was. And but his legacy carries on. And despite these difficult times, it will continue. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Very glad to be with you. Holy cow, it's a beautiful blue sky day. You wouldn't have thought it yesterday. When the winds were so strong, they blew the trees down and blocked the roads of Brownsmead and killed the electricity. And here we are, Pacific Northwest. Beautiful. Thanks for being here. I want to wish a happy birthday to Iris and Vicky B. And you, if it happens to be your birthday also. Healing wishes to everyone, especially Jan and Sue and Earl and Rosie, Eva, Michelle, the Armstrong family, Mumia, all prisoners of body and mind. Wish everyone good health. And we'll be hearing a little more also about Monday's anniversary. It's Memorial Day here, but it's also the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre. So it is time to bring on the healing arts. They're doing it there, and we're doing it here. Harriet, hello.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm well. Wasn't that wonderful to hear Mark playing and singing that song?
That was amazing. I had not heard that before, so that was a real treat.
Oh, it's my favorite. He, you know, when he did that the first time, I said, Mark, is that a true story? Because it sounds true. And he just looked at me and with that smile of his. And anyway, it certainly tells some of the story about what you've been involved in for. Have you been involved since the beginning?
Well, yes, by attendees. My husband is the tenor guitar player in the family, but I've gone down every year, and we live in Tacoma, so I've attended every year, and then the last probably 5 years I've been involved on the board. And
The president of the Tenor Guitar Foundation.
I am. Right. You know, Mark was our fearless leader, and yes, it's hard to believe that we lost him in 2016.
Yeah.
And then Josh Reynolds was our president, and he is the son of Nick Reynolds, who made the tenor guitar so popular with the Kingston Trio.
Right.
And so he led the group for a couple of years, and that's actually, it was the Kingston Trio influence that got my husband playing the tenor guitar.
I was going to ask you that, because a lot of people don't even know what the tenor guitar is, so I'm going to ask you to tell them, and also, obviously, even folks who do know what it is don't know that Nick Reynolds, the Kingston Trio guitarist, played it. But if you look at your album cover, I'm sure everybody's got a Kingston Trio album cover. Okay, if you don't, go online. You will see he is playing the tenor guitar. Okay, Harriet, what's a tenor guitar? And why? What got your husband inspired?
Well, the tenor guitar is a four-string guitar, and there are several different ways of tuning it. And I won't get into that because I am not a musician. But
okay.
That's one of the fun things about our event coming up, is that you'll see different methods of tuning, different ways of playing it, and the different genres that it can fit into. And so it's a very versatile instrument. And if you think it's not well-known on the West Coast, we spent this last winter in Texas and attending several music RV parks, and they really looked at it askance. It was, what is it's rare out here, but it's practically unheard of there. And it was not played in bluegrass, which is where most of our time was spent.
Mm-hmm.
But
why did your husband pick it up? What does he prefer about it?
Well, he likes the fact that it's different, and that there were so many six-string guitars that he needed something when he played with groups that would add a different sound and dimension.
Okay.
And so the tenor was his answer.
Nice. Okay. I think people are more familiar, and we may hear some of this, with the tenor banjo Tyler plays. We have something lined up for a little bit later. So you mentioned, and I agree, we're not going to talk about the tuning, but we are going to talk about the participants, the artists.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us? And what is this year is different from all other years.
This is a very different year. We had to postpone our event last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it became obvious early this spring that we were not going to be able to do one in person this early in June. That just wasn't going to be enough population, mm-hmm. performers, and everyone else vaccinated for it to feel like we could make plans. So we decided to produce a virtual event, which when it was first mentioned to me, I must admit, it brought around a deep emotion of nausea.
It scared
me to death because it's so out of, you know, a character for anything I've ever been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
But we have last year and this event and next year, we are going to have a core of favorite participants from prior years who have been just really key in the growth of the tenor guitar gathering and the foundation. And then we have three new people. But we had stayed in touch with them, and they were willing to do this on a virtual event, and so we are just very excited. We're going to have six returning performers, and not in any particular order. Gene Mann from Seattle, Grant Flick, Tyler Jackson, John Lawler, Jerry Carthy, and Tim May. And by the way, Jerry Carthy's birthday was yesterday. I thought of him as you were going through your birthday wishes.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday, Jerry, wherever you are.
Right.
Good.
And then our new performers are Allison Helzer, who's really from Portland, so she's a local one.
Nice.
And then Matt Weiner, who is a bass player who also plays tenor guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then one who is now one of your local citizens, Mishkin Warbler.
Now, I think Mishkin actually played at one of the earlier tenor guitar.
Yes,
right. Okay.
Yes, you're right. And then, but she's new in the sense that she's from the Oregon area.
Right.
And the fun thing about that is that she first met Astoria because of a tenor guitar event, and then she and her partner decided that they needed to find a cooler climate than the Joshua, where they were living in California, mm-hmm. and so they have moved up,
and we are thrilled. Rain. Yes, Grateful Rain, and of course today it's not, but we are grateful for the rain. But yeah, we are thrilled to have Mishkin and Jenny Q, and herbalist and musician and Palestinian Arabic foods and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful gifts. I did not remember that it was tenor guitar that brought Mishkin here. So
that was her first visit to Astoria. And then she came back because she believed she had a local concert.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
But it was tenor guitar that got her first introduced to Astoria. So.
Listeners out there.
I love Astoria, so very proud of that.
Okay, now you also mentioned, which I think is one of the exciting parts of this, that there's all kinds of music, despite the fact that people still think of a four-string guitar must be limited. Not so.
Not so at all.
I know Jean is probably the most unusual because she tunes it completely differently and sings all original material.
That's right.
And she's been coming for years, which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
I think Mishkin also, I don't know what she's going to play this year, but she also writes, composes music.
She does.
It's quite different.
Yep.
So we'll have to find out how that goes. And tell
many,
us.
Many of them perform with their own music. And, of course, the youngest one in the group is Grant Flick from Bowling Green, Ohio. And he's been performing for 7 years. And
wow.
He's just about ready to finish his university degree in jazz performance
at
University of Michigan.
Wonderful. Yeah, he was so underage that we couldn't play in certain places. We had to sit out in the hallway because we couldn't bring him into the bar. And I wonder whether his parents are going to come out this year. They seem to love the trip.
Well,
he doesn't need
them
anymore.
They won't be this year, but perhaps next year.
Good.
Nobody is going to be local.
Nobody.
They've all sent their tapes so that we are going to produce them into a format.
Well, why don't you tell us how this is going to work? Because I, quite honestly, don't know myself.
Well, to be honest, Carol, I don't either. And we're relying on the skills of one of your local people.
Fabulous.
It's going to be put into a concert that will be played first at 3 p.m. on Friday, June 4th. And then it will be accessible through the weekend and into the future on our website and through a Facebook link.
Okay.
And so that's how that one's starting.
Okay, so that would be the fabulous Mick Alderman, who can do anything producing, as well as acting, directing, writing, and everything else. But in this case, producing. People sent the material to him, and then he put it together. Is that the idea?
That's it, exactly.
Okay.
And then I have interviewed some local people to get some of that. And I'm just really hoping we can entice a whole new audience to come to Astoria for our 2022 event.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was fun to go to the Bridgewater and talk about that wonderful restaurant, because one of our events every year has been a luncheon there. After we do the trolley ride, we cram as many players onto the trolley as possible and go up and down playing music and singing to the delight of the players as well as everybody within ear range, which is a pretty good range when you have that many people.
Right. And then, of course, the luncheon at the Bridgewater also involves music.
Yes, we always have featured John Lawler, who is perhaps he's pretty well known for YouTube aficionados, because he plays a jazz method that is just incredible. And he's another artist that started very, very early. When he was 12, he was playing with a well-known Philadelphia group called the Mummers.
Oh.
And Mark Joseph described him as the greatest tenor guitar virtuoso, past or present. And his fingering and chording is so unique, and he can't explain it. And it's just really amazing. The other artists, other performers watch it, and they're just coming away, how does he do that? And it's just amazing.
Yeah, he's also one of the sweetest guys you ever want to meet, with a very strong Philadelphia accent. So we are delighted to have him commit himself to coming to the tenor guitar each year. And this year it'll be virtual, but he'll be back next year, and that's a great joy.
That's right.
So, go ahead, because John is jazz.
I was just going to give you a little bit on some of the other performers, like Tyler Jackson, who's recognized for his ukulele skills, because, of course, that's a four-stringed instrument.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he was recognized when he was 12 years old by Buddy Griffin, and then later began learning the tenor guitar. And he's based near San Antonio, and he's played with really well-known musicians, Ray Price, Howard Alden, Randy Travis, and Dale Watson, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know he's been very busy during this COVID by doing Zoom lessons with people. I know one fellow from all over the country and maybe across the world, but he's been very busy doing that.
Great. Good for him. Generating also a way to stay alive. When you're,
absolutely.
And Tyler is our next youngest after Grant, and the two of them got on like hot. What's the expression? Hot fire cakes or hot cakes or something like that, and just beautiful to watch the energy between them.
And the respect these players have for each other.
Oh, yes.
And there's an energy and a vibration that happens just getting them together. And then, of course, Tim May is usually involved in one of those, too.
Yeah.
And he's from Nashville.
He's famous.
And he was well known as a flat picker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's won numerous recognitions and awards in his 20-year history as a sideman and a session player and a band member and a performer and another just absolutely nicest person you could meet.
You know,
here's another kind of funny story. On our trip, we traveled with an RV 7.5 months this winter. And when we were in Nashville, I called him to see if we would, by any chance, if he was performing someplace so we could come and see him. And he said, no, it's a private party, and I won't be able to. And I said, that's fine. I just wanted to be able to touch bases with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came down with COVID. And I am so grateful that we did not.
Oh, my God. You did on your trip.
Both Wally and I did.
God. Yep. Oh, wow. Well, it's clear that you recovered. You sound terrific, and that's wonderful. But, yes, it is fortuitous that you did not join the party.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I bet.
Things happen for a reason, don't they?
They usually do. I was going to say of the nine folks who are coming, I know seven of them, and I would say every single one of them is a treasure, not just in music, but I don't know whether it's the tenor guitar that makes them such fine human beings or what, but it's a wonderful thing. Okay, so we had the kinds of music. What about Jerry? Tell folks about Jerry Carthy.
Okay. Jerry Carthy, who's just had his birthday yesterday,
yes.
Lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but he is from Ireland and speaks with such a heavy brogue.
Yep.
And actually, if people go to our Facebook page, which is Tenor Guitar Gathering, I just posted a little bio, and then one of our other board members posted a video of him.
Oh, good.
Relatively recent, and so it's really fun to watch because he chats a lot. He tells about growing up in Ireland and the school system and how they all learn to play the flute or pipe, learn how to pipe. And he's just such a warm person, but it's Irish music, so it's another completely different one.
So
and then, interestingly enough, Allison Helzer, the young lady from Portland, she readily admits that she was heavily influenced by Jerry Carthy.
Oh. Now, how did...
So about
Do you know where she ran into his music?
Yes, I'm honestly not sure how. We'll just have to make sure we get that story when we meet in 2022.
Okay.
All of these performers have already agreed to come in 2022 in person to Astoria.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Okay. You mentioned that we can see the video and everything else. What is the website?
Actually, you can do it from, we're going to have a link from our Facebook page, if people are familiar with that, or the tenorguitargathering.info is the website for our gathering, and we will have the link there also.
Okay.
And then we do a newsletter, so when people are on that site, they can sign up for that, and we'll be sending out the link in that also.
Okay, good. And tell us a little bit about Matt Weiner. I know nothing about him.
Well, he's one I have not yet met either, but he is a Seattle-based musician, and we brought him in to be a bass player, and... he then found out that he's also plays tenor guitar. You know, he admits that he's learning the tenor guitar, but there's not a single musician in this list who would say they have mastered it. They all are learning.
Oh, of course.
Matt's pretty well known in the Seattle area as a musician, and he has a music store in Fremont that I think is called Dusty Strings.
Oh, that's quite well known, yes. Yes, okay. That's interesting. This is exciting. You know, this weekend is Folklife Festival in Seattle, and it is also virtual. That's how I know Dusty Strings. Again, this is going to be happening, premiering at the same time as Arts Live and Local. And when I first read that, I panicked. But Harriet reassured me that I will be able to watch. And so I'm going to reassure my listeners that you can catch both shows without any problem. And part of the reason for that is that every year so far, during the Tenor Guitar Gathering, we've packed the KMUN studio with these musicians. And I think, I can't even remember, 11 or 12 people in the studio. It's not a big studio. And but people are so warm, friendly, and so appreciative of one another that we've never felt put upon. It's been very joyful. And we'll do that again next year. But this year, you can go. Now, I am not a Facebook person, so you'll have to say, what does it mean to go to Tenor Guitar Facebook?
Well, for anybody who is, you just do it at the search at the top, put in Tenor Guitar Gathering, and okay, our page will pop up.
Okay.
And then from there, they will be able to go to the link to take them to the concert.
Okay. And otherwise, if you're like me, and they won't let you on, sometimes they do, tenorguitargathering.info is the website, and you can get more information there. Harriet, I'm so appreciative of you being at the helm of this fabulous festival. Thank you so, so much. This is, after all, we are fostering musicianship four strings at a time, as absolutely, Mark always said. And if anyone is worried because they only know how to play a six string, Mark always kept a wire cutter in his back pocket to help you out. We won't do that at the festival. You're allowed to play your six string also. But I think once you're touched by the diversity and the power of this music, you might want to experiment. So, and all, am I right? All four string instruments are welcome too for next
year.
Absolutely. Ukulele, mandolin, fiddle, bass, whatever.
Yep.
So, okay. Wonderful. Anything else you want folks to know?
No, yes, I'd like you to know who our board members are, because this has been just an amazing effort from everybody to step forward and to do something that none of us know anything about, you know?
Yes.
And so,
I know.
But I'm the president, and Ken Heikula is the secretary. Deborah Haslett, who is from Astoria, is our treasurer. Mm-hmm. Marianne Ulapelto and Ken Richards are board members. And then Donna Joseph, who is
Mark's sister.
And lives in New Jersey, is also on the board. And so it's just been a hard work and a huge learning curve that all of us have been able to put this together. And we've given Mick Alderman a real challenge.
Yes. Well, fortunately, he's up to it. We're very lucky right here in Astoria to have incredible musicianship of all kinds, and talent in the arts. So thank you so much, Harriet Ballmer, president of the Tenor Guitar Foundation. We will put the announcement on the arts. We'll be telling you about it each week. And I'm looking forward to watching the video, and I'm very much looking forward to next year. Thanks so much, Harriet.
Thank you.
Okay, and we do have a tune by Tyler Jackson, Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack music here, some fabulous stuff. And I'm so, so pleased to be able to share some of this extraordinary art life. That we have in this region. I want to tell you about one thing that's happening right now, because they stop at 4, but they'll be on tomorrow and Sunday and Monday. And that is that the Astoria Visual Arts is having an artful jumble. And you can head on over there. They're on 10th and Duane, that big blue beautiful building. They're right on the corner. And there's stuff there. It's not paintings and ceramic, as you can see up at the college student show, which is wonderful. This is stuff. There's equipment, and there are pencils, drawing pencils, and colors, and recycling material, fabrics, all kinds of things. And I just dropped off some stuff, frames. And so if you want to stop by and see if there's something there you can use, and of course, whatever comes in goes to help support the AVA. So they are noon to four today through Monday, and then next weekend, Friday and Saturday only. And by the way, the Northwest Folklife Festival is happening, northwestfolklife.org, all weekend. So you can tune in to them. Right now, I have someone a little bit closer. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Carol.
And by the way, folks, you're listening to KMUN, Arts Live and Local. Scott Johnson, hopefully he doesn't have too many people distracting him. He is.
Carol, can you hear me?
I can hear you well. And
okay, let me put you on intercom.
Oh, okay. Sure, Scott. I'll be careful what I say now.
Oh, I know. We're in a gallery full of people, but life is good.
Okay, the Cannon Beach Gallery is obviously in Cannon Beach, and it is a happening place. Including, this is the last weekend, isn't it, for Nature's Impression?
It is. It's a fabulous show. We have three artists, two of them very local. You've probably interviewed Dorota a number of times, and she has a wonderful show of some brand-new pieces here. And Deborah Carnes, who's one of our basket maker wonder kind,
mm-hmm.
and her daughter Rachel Laura.
Ah, nice.
Yeah,
nice. So they are closing on Sunday. Is that the last day folks can
see?
Yeah,
and we're taking in work. Thank you so much.
And
do you want to see this?
See, folks,
this is
a live gallery. So you can see the arts are happening. There are people looking. Maybe if we're lucky, even buying. That would be lovely.
There's questions. But yeah, so we're also taking in work for the upcoming show, Beauty Deconstructed. And we're still looking at how, it's going to shape up. And we have some taxidermy in the gallery and a lot of pretty amazing things.
That would be Lindsay Bones.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, she is one of my favorites. Now, when I heard she was doing taxidermy, I squirmed, and then I saw what she was doing with it, and I'm so proud of her. She's taken something that most of us don't think of as art and is using it well. She's doing a beautiful job. And so this show coming up, Beauty Deconstructed, I think I read that you're featuring your artist in residence, Peter Griever.
Yeah, Peter has, of course, Hannah and Harry are his parents, and they've had the Griever Gallery for, who knows, 35, 40 years. I used to go in there when I was a teenager and look at things, and Peter is their son, and he was awarded the artist's grant roughly a year and a half ago, and we're finally fulfilling it. There's some lovely giant pieces that he did when he lived in Portland. I think he must have lived on like the fifth floor or so, because a lot of them look down.
Oh, how interesting. Are these Are these paintings or are these creations?
Oh, large oil paintings.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I've seen some of his creations. His.
Yeah. The fairy houses.
Yes, exactly.
I'm hoping we're going to get one or two fairy houses for the show.
So that show opens when?
The show opens roughly next Wednesday. I mean, ideally, if you wanted to see it intact and looking really graceful, you'd come in on Thursday.
Okay.
Friday.
Okay. By the way,
some people like to see the workings of a gallery.
Absolutely.
See that.
Well, and we're listening.
Wednesday is the day.
We're listening to the workings with right now, so we might as well say, I don't want to forget the fourth member of that creative family. Maybe there's even more, but Lotta Griever is another incredible person in the arts.
I'm not too familiar with her. But,
Well, she used to be a KMUN programmer. She's a fabulous reader, and I believe she works at one of the other galleries in Cannon Beach. Dragonfire? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, Dragonfire, yeah.
So, it's an amazing family. I've got some of their mother's work in my house, some birds. So, okay, but this Beauty Deconstructed, I saw some photographs of works. Tell us what that even means, and then what...
Oh, the Beauty Deconstructed.
Yeah, because some of the stuff I saw was extraordinary. So tell us.
Well, yeah, it's turning out to be quite an exotic show. And a lot of people are taking it to a place where they're basically looking at how things do have a level of decay, you know, especially ocean debris. And then a lot of people are depicting things like the fires.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
But I kind of created the name because it was going to be a show with Peter's work, and Peter like doesn't hedge on the fact that this was a pretty tough time for him to be living in Portland. So I thought it would be an appropriate time to try something a little bit more edgy and mm-hmm. and bring out the possible angst of some artists.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an interesting show.
Well,
so far.
I don't know if you wrote this, but that Peter's work, Exploration into Nostalgia and Places He Used to Call Home, that has a kind of edge to it right there. But the other other artists as well, time and its impact on our environment. So that should be... I don't know the other artists. Can you tell? I only know Lindsay. Who else is part of this show?
Oh, Flora Young has been living in Cannon Beach for a long time, and her husband has been making surfboards forever, and she's an oil painter, so she has some of her works. Normally, her works are way too big to even be in the gallery.
Oh.
I'm not sure... I haven't met Paula Duncan or Dittmar, but if I was to look around, we have some printmakers from Portland. I will have three pieces there.
Oh, good. I love. I should have said Scott is not just the director of the gallery. I met him in his art making stage, and clearly he's still doing it, which is great. And of course, I have Scott's work in my house too, and I'm delighted that you got a job in the arts so you can pay for your habit. That's terrific.
Yeah, and now I have freedom within boundaries, and the boundary is. My day-to-day gallery job, but I get a little bit more focused in between. And I'm also not just out scrambling around looking for food, so that's a good thing, too.
I like that. We try to feed our artists as well. Well, so how does it, had you done any arts administration before?
Well, I was a pretty much a full-time gallery owner in a cooperative gallery in Portland for 25 years.
Before that,
I managed other galleries like the Gango Gallery and Photographic Image Gallery. And so definitely lots of phases where I'm talking directly to people who are, you know, securing the money and, and artists and making sure the scheduling is going well and the whole physical operation of the gallery is going well.
I actually left
Portland after that last 25 years and promised to never work cooperatively with anybody else. But the board kind of convinced me that we would get along. So we're having a good time.
We're
heading on 3 years, possibly. I don't know. It's been a while.
So were you a working artist before you ran the galleries in Portland, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, primarily all art, some massage.
Mm-hmm.
But that waned a lot after so many years of massaging way too many people for so long.
Yeah.
But I used to have a lot of one-person shows in Portland, and those were the good old days, the 80s and 90s.
So can you give us a sketch of your work, the work you do or like to do?
Well, I do have a floating website, scottcjohnsonartist.com, and then you can see some of my historical works at the Whitebird Galleries website. Whitebird Gallery.com. Alan, the owner of Whitebird, is actually
Alan Cantor. Yes.
Yeah.
I love her work too. This arts community is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's great that we're able to talk, even though you're 25 miles away.
yeah.
You don't have to be here in the arts. Okay. We're.
Are we running out of time? Because I do want to express that we do have the Artisan Residencies program coming up soon for 2021-2022. And if artists are interested in applying for that and possibly getting some grant money to do what they do, please go to cannabeacharts.org/artistgrant.
Okay.
And don't miss out on summer art camp.
That's what I was going to mention. I wanted to ask you, the summer art camp is going to be virtual this year?
It is, but the thing that needs to be noted is that it's virtual, but everybody gets a box of things that basically supply the class to be virtual. So the whole board gets together and puts together these lovely boxes. It's even bigger and better than a gift box.
Well, that's great.
And yeah, it's really fun.
And you've got, it's for children and adults. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And that you can go to cannonbeacharts.org/kids-programs-art-camp.
Yeah,
probably just go to Cannon Beach Arts and it'll come up.
Cannonbeacharts.org me there. Yeah. And you can.
And then just start pushing buttons because we have roughly 25 years of history on that website. It's pretty exciting.
So, how does the Cannon Beach Gallery and the Cannon Beach Arts Association, what's the relationship?
Well, the arts organization was specifically the grantee of a lot of the things that happened in the past. And so it's also the educational unit. And then the gallery was, thank you so much. Oh, you want me to erase that?
I love it. This is live radio, folks, and live arts. Art gallery, the Cannon Beach Gallery, is happening, and it's a wonderful gallery, and you can get yourself an arts in residence grant. The submissions are open right now, so jump on it, And that's what Peter Griever had. Are they usually for a whole year?
Well, it's actually, no, I'm getting a call from Peter himself.
Uh-oh.
This would be bad. No, I'm just kidding. He's like, God, there's some corrections I want to make when you, as you have Carol on.
Peter's been on the air, too.
It basically allows somebody to be able to do a project with a little bit of money coming in, but we'll be taking proposals all the way up until the end of the year.
Oh, good. Okay.
Then it can be in a unit that both we curate and they, the creator, sort of tailors.
Good.
For
yeah.
us. And we're actually not necessarily interested in having somebody exhibit a whole show in the gallery anymore. But if they do have something they would like to perform or have a portion of the gallery to display, mm-hmm. that will be something we'll schedule in for next year. So that's the way we've planned it.
Okay. And let's also mention, folks, since you can tell that Scott's been on the telephone as well as selling art, as well as talking to me, the phone number there, if you want to harass him or get information,
please.
Is 503-436-0774. Hey, Scott, thank you so much.
Wait, is it 0774 or is it 0744? I can't remember.
I wrote 774.
Oh, 0744.
Oh, is it 44?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
436-0744.
Okay, thank you. I will correct that in my book. Okay. Thank you so much for taking time and for being there and for all the gifts you give our community. And
I love it.
Good. Okay, I do too. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll catch up another time.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
I hope to see you again soon.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
And you are listening to KMUN Arts Live and Local. And I do want to dedicate this show to, I'm sure all of you have been hearing about it. Finally, we're all hearing about it. Sadly, tragically, 100 years ago, the Tulsa Massacre, Tulsa, Oklahoma, that none of us, I don't know anyone who learned about it, whether they lived right in Tulsa or whether they lived in New York or Texas or Oregon, but we're hearing about it now. And we're hearing about it through the arts as well. And have been for a few years. Today, actually, an entire album was released, Fire in Little Africa, and there is a hip-hop collective in Greenwood, is the neighborhood in Tulsa that was destroyed. I'll let you read about it, or better yet, listen to the music. Black Wall Street is what it was known for. There is a legacy festival going on this weekend. Check it out on the web. And I'm going to hear some music that may give you the full story. I also want to let you know that this weekend there is stuff going on Saturday night at the Southwestern Musicians and South Pacific Humane Garage Sale. And the Marion DeSico is at the Peninsula Performing Arts. And Florence Sage on Wednesday will be virtual, and soon she'll be at Kala. Have a listen. A big thanks again to Nevada for not just engineering, but doing lots of work to make this show possible, and to KMUN in its totality for making radio happen during these difficult times. Thanks. We didn't know. It's never an excuse. Thanks for listening. I hope we all learned something today, including the incredible place and value of the arts for enabling people to express themselves. right here on KMUN at Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, Coast Radio, KMUN.org. Thanks. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. Wishing you well. Blessings. Wearing a mask is still an act of love. Thanks, folks.